Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Dzogchen Count is called Red Rhythmic Skywalker, and it is the sixth day of the Yellow Star Wave Spell, and it is Solar Moon Day 16. And I think that there's probably not a bunch of people listening, and I know that kind of core, diehard, natural time devotees would, and I am there with you. I am one of those people. And then sometimes people just drop in because either they meet me or someone passes along the information, or we're stuck at home, and so we are going to listen to all our podcasts that we subscribe to. That's me right now. But you know, I am really torn because I am so interested in the natural time experience, and I use it constantly in my own life to solve riddles and things that feel like problems, hardships. You know, I can assess almost anything that arises for me through the Dzogchen and the 13 moon calendar, and I do so in order just to not, you know, lose faith or hope or my bearings. I situate my life and the risings in it in the calendars that are described here because that's how I create some kind of stabilization process for what it is to be human, which I find, you know, really uncomfortable most of the time, lots of the time. So we're in a really critically uncomfortable moment, and for me it's accelerated as well. Although I don't have, sometimes I have like little ghost symptoms of sickness, and then I'm all like, here it comes, and then I get really upset because that's harder than losing money, is just like losing one's wellness, especially when this is lethal. But then the symptoms fade or retract enough for me to be like, no, my biggest concerns really now are just walking through the unknown with a billion other people. You know, that this energy vibration, the frequency of fear is tremendous, and it affects me. It's, you know, I have some pretty strong coping mechanisms in place because I think all of us who have to go inside now, most of the time, where I live, you know, we are getting grounded and, you know, in surrender. So I have the benefit of living somewhere where people are basically, you know, taking the high road and not in resistance and not rebelling. They're just saying, okay, this is what is. I'm going to be with my children 24 hours a day. I'm going to learn what it's like to be with my partner all day long. And, you know, then there's also the other tiers of like, and we're broke, by the way, and unemployed. And, you know, I don't have children at home. I have the dogs. And I don't have a partner in place. So I actually sit around going, it's really a great time to be single and have your children, you know, grown. Because I have so much sympathy for those who are having to give up their solitude in isolation. That isolation is not, like for me, like the monk's cell of great creativity and reflection, pensiveness, which I had already developed for the last, you know, several moons prior to this all arising. For some people, it's really crowded and it feels not spiritual at all. It's way too carnal. So, I mean, I kind of went on that tangent because I have anguish about what's happening, and I am glad to be here. And yet it's emotional to try to just be like, okay, let's talk about astrology, pop astrology from the Maya. It's hard. It's usually feels more important to me than what's going on in the world around me, but that is not really the case right now. But Mayan astrology, as I feel it, is kind of ground zero in the sense that it's what I fell hard on and into when I was getting divorced 20 years ago. And I've never forgotten how much grace it gave me. So I assume I might have a way of presenting some of what's going on in the calendar right now that can help you in the similar way that it helped me once long ago and has continued to ever since. So I know that what's happening with the coronavirus is best explained by us being in the solar moon of the 13 moon year. The solar moon is very fast moving, and it would have been without a pandemic. It would have been our own daily activities and relationship cycles and job expectations would have been ramped up like fire, solar, fire. Anything that references the sun is on fire. It's hot. It's bright. It can burn. It's the speed of light is very fast. And it all reminds me of the digitalized world that we've created so that, you know, the calendar has existed for millennia, but I followed it before there was a digital age. 20 years ago, I didn't have any internet capability or interest. And so when I started to have this convergence where we have the digital age and the solar tone, you know, in my thought, my thought capacity was looking at both in connection to another, because to me the solar moon is what we've achieved using the internet and this incredible speed of communication. You know, I remember when I was abroad in high school, I would, you know, send letters back and forth with my family in California. There was no fax machine. When I was abroad in college, there was a fax machine. And there was that capability. And I could never call home in either of those frames because it was so expensive. So we have just changed so radically in such a short time. And that's what the solar moon feels like. That shift from the U.S. Post to WhatsApp. So the coronavirus is occupying the solar moon for us Americans, for me. You know, for China, it was a different moon, resonant and galactic. But in any case, America, we get the solar moon, and it is really making everything fast, not just the transmission of the virus, but the communication about it is fast. Everything is so charged, racing. Decisions are made without, I'm not saying they're not very good decisions or they're not reflected upon, but they're no one's yielding. No one's going, no, I think we need to think more about it. I mean, possibly the U.S. Congress and Senate, but, you know, truly the leaders that are stepping in, at least at the local levels, are, and think of doctors, you know, that wherever there is leadership accorded, people are just saying, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. Even, you know, the idiocy of Donald Trump. He's moving faster than often. I cannot talk about him right now. The best thing about the coronavirus, one of the pure remedies for the national migraine of this presidency, is that it is more important than his daily bullshit. And we no longer have to talk or see headlines about what Trump has done exclusively and how we're trying to undo it. Instead, well, I'm not sure it's that different, but there's something much bigger than him, bigger than his ego. Okay, so the solar moon is in its third week, and it is, I mean, we're just going to have to get through it. If you know, the third week in the West is true of every moon. Every moon is 28 days long. It is the Mayan month. There's 13 of them in a year. And the first week is also pretty fast. It's the mental hijinks that happen and the element of fire in the first week in the east, and then the second week, these are 7-day weeks, four of them in our 28-day moon, the second week is in the north, and it's more spacious, and I think it can feel more slow. It's got the presence of spirit, the great spirit, all the spirits. We just went through that week, and where I live, that's when everyone was told to go inside and stay quarantined, and I think that's very the week of the north, you know, the place of emptiness, the place of you and spirit, and that's sort of what can be created in the solitude or seclusion of being quarantined, or what we would call separating ourselves, you know, for the benefit of the society. And now, though, we're in the action week, the place where emotions get pulled in, the place where there's a transformation process that is kind of the backbone of the moon, the 28-day time span. I mean, the backbone is maybe not the right analogy. It is, you know, the there's a dog that's not mine barking and being unhappy. And I can hear it. I hope you can't. The transformation that happens in the third week of the moon, this one and all, just to me is like, that's where the rubber meets the road. All these sayings, it's just the one where we have to do a certain amount of enduring and not being in full comprehension of what's going on while it unfolds, because it is moving something from a spirit place to a physical place, and that alchemy is like magic, and it's taxing. You know, like any alchemy sort of has a demand on our body. You see that in transformative healers, that they can somehow take care of everyone, but it can eat away at their own strength and resilience. And so I think in the third week, that because of the changes that are happening, in order to get something to be physicalized, where it was a thought and it passed through like kind of a spiritual anointing, it's becoming embodied through our own experience. We each have a personal change that's happening in the solar moon, and then we can observe changes that are larger than our own unique experience that seem encompassing of one segment of society or all of society or all of Earth. I mean, whatever, you know, we drop the pebble and all the water is disturbed in rings, and you can pick which ring is precious to you in this moment to observe or experience. But all the ripples are moving through something that I describe as intense and demanding, challenging in this week. And that takes us all the way through Friday. So the next Saturday, we will be in the final week of the solar moon. And I don't know, you know, how things will change in the planetary moon. Actually, I don't think it's moving out of the solar moon into the planetary moon is actually not great. In terms of, like, it's all going to get easier, right, when we're not in the solar moon. If you say the solar moon is hard or fast, then it's all going to be better in the planetary moon, right? And I would say, no, I don't think so. But let's talk about that then. I'm already pushing you to Friday and beyond. We have a lot of days between now and Friday, and the way that days drastically shift to the human perception right now is in itself exhausting. So that's my one thing, the counterbalance in the solar moon to all this activity is to sleep a lot, you know, to make sure that the fire, which is sort of the fever, right, inside us, you know, if we can slow it down in any of the ways that are available, from swimming. I live near an ocean. I could swim in the ocean. It's quite cold. Then I could get sick. So no, not that, but things that just slow us down, cool us down, quiet us down. That's kind of why it's good that we go inside. Okay, let me stay on task here, on natural time, tasking, task force. The yellow star wave spell is just a conundrum. It's a conundrum to me, because if I had never read that anthropological or ethnographic description of the reverence that the Maya paid to Venus when they wanted to go to war, or they realized they should go to war because of how Venus was positioned in the sky, if I had never read that, which I did, then I would exclusively think of the yellow star wave spell as a celebration of art, beauty, and elegance, to beautify art, to beautify and elegance, which is what Jose Arguelles chose for the articulation of what yellow star, the 13-day wave spell, is, what yellow star, the tribe, is, and we are in that time. And I would have been like, well, okay, so here's the thing about beauty. You know, beauty is opera. Beauty is a long, dense film about something that included suffering. You know, it's Schindler's List. It's Sophie's Choice. So that beauty is not just happy thoughts or happy endings. Beauty is an experience that it beautifies human suffering. It beautifies the trials that we all go through. It turns those into art. It's representing that as art so that we can revisit our own points of suffering, our parallels, and start to relax our, you know, resistance or sorrow, and just say, well, I mean, life is beautiful and life is all of this. And, you know, that is absolutely happening, at least where I live, which continues to be a vacation destination in spring, with sunny skies and beaches, the blue ocean. And so, you know, it's undeniable that no matter what's happening, one can step out into the world and be like, this is just as usual. It's pretty stunning. And yet, I think that the beauty that I am really observing and how things are beautified is the humility that comes with this horrendous would-be trauma, already enacted trauma in some parts of the world, where people are moving from the inconvenience of having everything upended and possibly super destabilizing economic consequences to beginning to realize that all of this is happening because there is a terrible afflicting virus heading our way, you know. So it's kind of like, we had the after effects of the war before the war ever happened, you know, this destabilized economy and everyone running for shelter, and that, you know, it's just the word of bomb threat. We haven't had any bombs yet, and they're coming. And I think the way I see people behaving in kindness and elegance is one of the words for this time. Like, the elegance of disposition is a very yellow star. And I think in my own experience, like, I can get super stressed out because I'll have the same awakenings that I'm describing. In fact, I'm just pretending that my awakenings are what's happening for everyone. I mean, I went from a super fast overnight economic destabilization, which I, you know, just like from having an income to having none, and feeling like, well, that's pretty horrifying, to realizing that, well, we're all in it together, so I don't have to single-handedly solve, you know, this economic crisis so that I don't look bad. Like, I look bad, and so does the plurality of others. And so that came and went. And then, you know, I spent a lot of time inside, so I didn't have to take such a hard hit with the required isolation. I mean, I've been staying at home like a monk making art for a long time. And then the pain, the anticipation of, you know, what could it be like? Would it be like if I was the one who needed a ventilator and we didn't have any more? That started to feel really scary. And I saw in myself that in that panic state, all this ego fear arising and becoming unpleasant, self-pitying, just like sort of in the victim identification. And then I caught myself, and I'm not a superstar, as it were. I mean, I'm not. But I caught myself, meaning I'm not a superstar at upending, irritable, critical, egoic thinking. But I caught myself and just was like, ugh, you know, I behave badly in a few situations. I have to apologize. And that to me is really a way of beautifying the world. And it's a natural impulse right now, beautification. So what I started by saying is that when I read the anthropology article, I had to find out that it wasn't just up to Jose Arguelles to describe what the Maya's relationship with Venus is. Yellow Star of the Wave Spell being about the reverence of Venus specifically as the most brilliant, resilient, beautiful star planet. So it was also the time, it's a great call to war, that reverence of Venus is in order to be willing and ready, sort of in service of that archetypal point of light, of its power, its, you know, domination of the night sky, its positioning would lead the Maya into a war confidently. And, you know, so here we are. Here we are, both elements of Yellow Star, that we can see each other becoming better people, I think mostly in this wave spell, at least where I live. People are becoming better people. There's not, you know, there's not a lot of terrible behavior. Terrible behavior might be muted because we are all like children of God, terrified, you know, hiding in the skirts of our mother. Just like, what do we do? We're in awe of what's being presented, and there's grace in there, and it's like being reverent of a star while also accessing the star inside ourselves or our soul. And then there's also, as I said, this anticipation, this realization, it's becoming very real that there's something that feels warlike coming to the world that's never had a war on its soil since the colonial wars. Okay, so again, this is where I just let off a lot of steam. This is what I do when I'm given a microphone these days. So let's walk through the days to come. I've told you about Yellow Star as best I can. I've told you about the solar moon as best I can. There's two things, actually. Darn it, I'm such a blab that I should do this from the top. I want to go through the days, and then I might do an extra 5 minutes. So let's go through the days. So Red Rhythmic Skywalker, which is here Sunday now, the 22nd of March. How can I extend my equality to others in the form of Red Skywalkers, you know, being the prophet? Today is a day of prophecy. And you can listen, and you can also organize your life around what you hear, what you feel, what you sense today, what you sense by kind of drifting into the sky yourself, you know, all this intent on slowing down, not having free movement, not having a place to go. I mean, it's every day is Sunday, and yet here we are on a Sunday, and it's going to start to make an altered state or space for us, and that's what today really feeds on, the altered state, altered consciousness, spacing out, not being grounded. And that is how we get to be stars ourselves in this wave spell, where we really just rise to the you know, the sky by the end of it. We enter the sky as stars. Let's see how the Zolk'in ends. And it's not a version of dying. It's a version of having completed, like, the perfection of a human melding with the sun itself. That in that space of us in reverence and you know, seeking connectivity with the sun or whatever our Godhead is, however we perceive or feel, sense our higher self or divine, whatever, the heavens, the universe, the sun. I think it makes us stars, star people. That's how I got my name. No, that isn't exactly how I got my name. So we are organizing to that end by already stepping out into the prophet space of existing in the sky and gleaning messages from there, and that happens today. And then tomorrow is White Resonant Wizard, and it's a White Wizard day and a White Wizard year. I want you to pay attention on Monday to this larger form item that I'm going to talk about before the podcast is over. Well, how about right now? So on the White Wizard Day and the White Wizard Energy, I want to remind you that we're in a White Magnetic Wizard year. It started on July 26, 2019. It's a 13-year cycle. We're in the first year. The whole 13 years is grounded in White Wizard, the tribe that is about the jaguar shaman, the medicine man or woman, the healer, and also, you know, the kind of storytelling. Life takes on this atmosphere of the hero's journey where there needs to be a healer because there's a lot of danger and there's a lot of humbling that needs to happen to the human ego, and stepping into the shaman's tent for a altered state experience of renewal, healing, insight is usually really formative for the hero as they move along. And we are all the shaman, the perpetrator against the hero, and then the hero as well. You know, we play all the roles, and we're going to do this for 13 years. And we can tell from the way this year is coming in strong that it's going to be based in this subject matter of saving ourselves from ourselves, you know, wearing all the hats, saving the hero, being the savior, being the hero, and being what the hero is trying to get safe from. So sometimes, you know, the virus is coming after us. Sometimes we're going after the environment. Sometimes, you know, so we heal from it. And so whenever we have a White Wizard Day, I think it's nice to touch in with this White Wizard theme, the larger theme. And White Resonant Wizard on Monday is also calling in the White Wizard Wave Spell 20 days forward, when we will be in the new Zolk'in. The White Wizard Wave Spell is the second Zolk'in, and then we will have all kinds of things going on because we'll have a White Wizard Wave Spell within the White Wizard year, and we will be revisiting White Magnetic Wizard 20 days from Monday. So 3 weeks from today, we're going to sort of be back at the beginning White Magnetic Wizard of the year, 260 days into the year. Does that make sense? I'll be talking plenty about it. And let me jump then to Tuesday, where we have Blue Galactic Eagle, where we are wrapping up and revisiting and integrating the Blue Eagle Wave Spell. When all of this big picture scenario presented itself, the Blue Eagle Wave Spell was really massively about seeing the predicament that we're in, you know, being in the sort of truth, the factual truth, and not in denial and not lost in the weeds, but to just really drop in to the perspective. I guess we would rise to the perspective of the eagle, see the picture from above. We're screwed. We're screwed. There is a virus that is taking over this planet, and we can't not look at it. So that's what we did for 13 days. It was hard when we were in it, I thought, to say it so starkly, because Blue Eagle, I think for me, it mutes a lot of the feelings that help me understand what's going on. I understand through empathy, like, okay, what's going on? Well, we're really having a danger in front of us. And instead, I would just be clinical, you know, along with the media, just like, oh, there's something coming. We're being told. But we watched it come from this big perspective, And it was also sort of the beginning of the solar moon, which again, I think the solar moon and the coronavirus in America are really sewn together. I also had said that it's the power animal of the United States. So it came to us in the Blue Eagle time, came to the U.S., us. And then the last day of note will be when I'm back here again, and it's a solar day and a solar moon, and it's called Yellow Solar Warrior. So that's going to be a great one. That's why I'm going to podcast. I'm going to get us all through that. You know, the other thing that I have to say again is that, you know, it's with apologies that I don't have a recording studio and a whole bunch of ways to protect your sound experience and your spiritual insight from my neighborly relations or my own animals. But I hope that starts to feel like your reality and my reality coalescing rather than any of us escaping reality for now, since I don't think we can. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan we say, in Lakesh.